All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
What's up?
Penn, what's up? How you doing, my man?
I'm living the dream over here. But no, I'm sorry. How am I doing? No. It's not like that. It's not like that. I didn't mean that.
You wouldn't dare.
No, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah,
nice. Can't wait.
You know, it's race week.
It's the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, the Kentucky Derby, and also my big race up in Lake Placid doing the full Ironman on Sunday. This is my big race. I've had two races so far this year, but this one is sort of like what we call the A race. So this is the one I'm looking forward to. My parents are coming with me. I'm psyched. And Kayla's coming, so that'll be fun. Yeah. You ever been up to Lake Placid?
No, because I don't want to get eaten by that giant alligator up there.
Oh, yeah. You're no dummy.
Yeah. I ain't afraid of no ghosts, but an alligator, that'll do it.
Did I tell you I swam with a frog a couple weeks ago?
What?
No. Yeah, I jumped in the pool, and there was this gigantic frog, and everybody around me was acting all cool and calm, and I was freaking out a little bit because I thought I was going to get eaten by the frog.
You almost did. That was almost the end.
It was like the right size of a dinner plate.
What?
Yeah, big ugly teeth sticking out.
Yeah, because frogs have those, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the animal that we were talking about a couple weeks ago that I thought was fictional, and then somebody sent us a picture of
hedgehog,
one?
Hedgehog, because you were crazy. You're like, Sonic the Hedgehog couldn't be based off a real thing. That's impossible.
I don't know.
They're like the cutest little things, and here you are just like not knowing they exist.
Who's the there's a fairy tale, like children's books, like classic, like Victorian era children's books that my mom was really into. Had like, oh, Peter Rabbit.
Okay,
like the old school Peter Rabbit.
I'm you sure know what you I'm had a hedgehog, about? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think there was a hedgehog in the old school Peter Rabbit.
How easy you forget.
Oh my God, how far we've come. Like we talked about Peter Rabbit. How many weeks in a row reviewed it, talked about it, went, and I never once put it together with that old school Victorian Peter Rabbit that my mom's into.
I used to get read those too. What are you talking about? You didn't get,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Totally. Well, back to your race. I think you could spice it up a little bit.
Okay.
Right? Your parents are going to be there. How many of the girls are coming with?
Just the one, Kayla.
Just
little
Kayla.
Kalo. Yep.
Yeah, that's three. You can scoot three in a rickshaw.
Right.
So I'm just saying, let them enjoy the race with you. Grab a rickshaw. Boom.
It's not about winning,
right? It's about just finishing. So
right, just having fun.
Yeah.
And what more fun could you possibly have than hauling your family around in a rickshaw?
Yeah, plus when you're going downhill, you just kind of like lean it back a little bit and just kind of ride it downhill, you know? Just get a little bit of air.
Perfect.
I'm saying, you hadn't thought this through, but now you've got a lot of thinking to do.
So, David.
Yeah.
We gotta get real this week.
Oh shoot!
Yeah, I got some news for you.
Oh.
All right. You ready? Well, first of all, we have a lot of news and a lot of great trailers to discuss.
Okay.
So we got a full agenda. So we don't have time for fooling around.
No fooling around. No rickshaw.
No fooling around. Right. This is all business today. But there's a whole nother issue that you're not even yet aware of because I haven't shared it with you. Okay. Remember we talked a few weeks ago. Remember?
Yeah, I do remember, actually.
This is so embarrassing.
And I remember that.
This is so embarrassing. Remember we talked a few weeks ago about how like I would like drop little nuggets because my brother never listens to the show, and then I'd be like, oh, I guess we'll test to see if he listens.
Yeah.
And then we had the same conversation about my dad.
Yeah.
Because he can never find it. Like, it's always like a big struggle, right?
Uh-huh.
So anyway, my dad came to visit last weekend, him and my mom, which was fantastic. It's always great to see them. And yeah, my dad made a podcast joke.
Whoa!
Yeah.
What did he do?
Listener number 5,643. I don't know what he did, but it was like a podcast joke. Like it was one of our inside jokes.
Oh,
he like he let it drop like around the dinner table or something, and me and Marley both looked at each other. We were like, oh. Yeah. So we gotta take it up a notch.
Oh shoot! And we gotta. Well, I mean. If we don't keep it as classy as possible,
right?
He's gonna let us know.
Go ahead and take a minute and put your pants back on.
It's gonna take more than a minute.
And then I wish we could like cue like the elevator music.
The call is important. We'll be right back with you.
Right. It's David's pants putting on music.
Finally back.
All right. So Pop Up Peter is listening. So welcome to the show, Pop Up.
What's up, Pop Up Peter?
Yeah. Well, all right, so you know what they used to call my dad when he was a kid?
What's that?
Doctor Strange.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy because I always heard people call him Bruce Campbell. It's crazy. Speaking of which, Bruce Campbell strongly hints that he's going to have a cameo in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. To the surprise of maybe some.
Who's Bruce Campbell? Should I know this? Apparently.
That was the wrong sound effect, but I let it play out for effect. Because that's how shocked I am at this moment.
What I was going to go for crickets. For? The crickets.
Yeah.
Who's Bruce Campbell?
Bruce Campbell. He was in Army of Darkness, Evil Dead. He's in every Sam Raimi movie.
Okay.
Right. You would know. You would if you Google Bruce Campbell, you're going to be like, that guy.
Okay, podcast at pencinema.com if you knew who Bruce Campbell was and I'm an idiot for not knowing it. Or podcast at pencinema.com if you're with me because you never heard of Bruce Campbell.
He's in all the Spider-Man movies. Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies.
Oh, is he that ugly looking dude?
He's a weird looking guy. But like he always plays a bit part. Like
gotcha.
a maitre d' or an usher or an announcer.
I gotcha. I just Googled him. I see who you mean. He's a good looking dude.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, he's going to be probably in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Whether or not he'll be one of his many characters from Spider-Man or some new character, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Sam Raimi puts him in his movie. Just like James Gunn always puts his brother in a movie.
Right.
It's the same deal.
Yeah. And what about Elizabeth Olsen?
Well, Elizabeth Olsen, she described Multiverse of Madness as a very scary movie. And I quote, "It's a very scary movie." It's like old Sam Raimi. They're trying to create the scariest Marvel movie. I should have left the quote as "It's a very scary movie." Just wrote it out with that.
I like the double quote. I think that's great.
Yeah. So
I don't think she likes you. Why? What did she say? I don't like him.
Yeah. It's like I guess Sam Raimi used to make scary movies, like with Evil Dead,
right?
1 and 2, and I think there was other ones as well. But he's kind of gotten to be a more all-purpose director. But now they're saying he's trying to make scary stuff.
Okay.
So,
did I ever tell you about my Halloween costume when I was 5 years old?
You did not. Wait. Were you peanut butter and jelly?
I was a very scary monster. Just like this is a very scary movie.
What monster were you?
Okay, so I don't really know what kind of monster I was, but I had one of those cheap plastic masks, you know, with the tight string that you wrap around your head, you know, and I had like probably a bloody t-shirt or something like that. But apparently, legend has it that halfway through trick-or-treating, I was upset that nobody was scared of me. So my mom and dad, one of them, probably my dad, being the good guy that he is, literally wrote out a sign and hung it around my neck that said, and I quote, "I am a very scary monster." So that when I went door to door, they would know to be scared.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet that was effective.
Right. Well, there's a great – I'll have to see if they can, if somebody can dig up the picture of me, little five-year-old me trick-or-treating with a sign that says I'm a very scary monster. Wow. Speaking of my parents.
Oh.
I texted you earlier, right? The my mom cleaned out the basement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we got this dope Star Wars –
yeah.
Some old Star Wars gear.
What is that? Is that a magazine? Or
this was this, you know, as I have spoken about in public many times, my movie going career started in 1977 with the release of Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. Although back then we just called it Star Wars.
Right.
And my parents took me to see it in Manhattan, and they gave out these programs. This is an official, like, you know how you go to an IMAX now and they give you, like, we give you, like, one of those mini posters?
Yeah.
This is what they used to give you. In 1977, they gave me this program, and I'm holding it up so all our listeners can see. It's got some really cool black and white pictures. The funny thing is it helps you, like, it goes through all the different Star Wars characters, like, not just Darth Vader, but R2-D2, and it has, like, a little cast list, like, who played which characters. And the thing that I appreciated the most about it is you have this, like, really cool program, and I remember having this when I was 6 years old. But what's really funny is at the way back of it, there's a whole paragraph about – or end credits, and it lists, like, the full credits, like, you would get at the end of a movie, like, when the credit rolls. It's just funny. Like, it's incredible. I can't even begin to imagine doing something like that today, like handing out. Like, it's a thick little program that you get, and I think it was super cool. So, and there was a couple – she found a couple Star Wars cards, like trading cards and stuff like that. So it was fun, a little walk through memory lane. And as soon as Star – you know, I was like prime Star Wars age, and then I was also prime age for rolling right into Indiana Jones. Remember Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yeah, I was just trying to look here while you were talking.
Yeah.
To see if I could find out how much value that had, and I couldn't find it.
Yeah, I can tell you, it's like a buck.
What? That's crazy.
Everything that ever used to hold any value is now valued at around a dollar.
Wow.
Like an original, like, Daryl Strawberry baseball card. $1.06.
Is it because the dollar is worth so much now?
Right. I'll tell you what it's why it is. It's because of eBay. Because like in the old days, you used to have to like actually hunt and commit yourself to go find cool stuff. And now you just type it into Google and, you know, there you have it. You can have it shipped and it'll arrive at your house tomorrow morning. The other reason why mine would be worth a dollar is, I don't know if you can see that, but it's stapled.
Oh.
Like, I wore through it so bad and, you know, just spent so many hours poring over this that my parents had to staple it to keep it all in one piece.
Wow, that's crazy.
So mint condition would not be the phrase to use here.
Mm. No. Well, speaking of stapling things together, like the plot of the new Indiana Jones 5 movie. So, new photos have arisen on social media seemingly reveal that the film is set in 1969, shortly after the Apollo 11 mission. Now, if that's not enough to get your James Bond juices flowing, let me give you this little tidbit of knowledge.
Hit me.
Antonio Banderas.
McLaughlin.
Yeah, McLaughlin. Antonio Banderas McLaughlin joins Indiana Jones 5 in an undisclosed role. If you ask me, I think he's going to play Mutt's son. Do you remember who Mutt is?
Oh, yeah.
Indiana Jones. He's going to play Indiana Jones' son's son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, though, I want to remind you.
Yeah.
When we saw set pictures from Indiana Jones either last week or the week before, didn't we change our tune?
Yeah. No, I'm actually okay with it, like, for this movie. I just was making a really bad joke segue. But Antonio Banderas in the movie.
McLaughlin.
McLaughlin. I think that's a pretty good role. He just played a Greek guy in that movie we just watched. The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard.
Space Jam?
Space Jam.
Yeah. I don't remember any Greek guys in Space Jam.
Well, you know, that means you're starting to block the movie out. So
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got a little drama to discuss.
Oh.
I'm going to jump ahead here.
Oh, my goodness.
You wanted to talk about NATO versus Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's set the tone here. Let's just start with, you know, the news that hit today or yesterday, or it's fresh in my mind. Peter Jackson's Beatles movie, which we were super excited about, getting released on Disney Plus. So, yeah.
Straight to Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Not a dual release, just straight to.
That's what I'm saying. How do you think that sits with the theater owners of the world?
Probably not great.
Not great.
But I think so, they're kind of not doing very happiness with Disney as it is, right?
Right. So for those listeners who might not have heard us talk about this before, there's a trade organization called NATO. Now, you have two big NATOs in the world. There's the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Right, the smaller one.
Right. And then the main one, which is the National Association of Theater Owners.
Yeah, the big one.
Right. Yeah. So the main one, NATO, is currently exchanging blows with Disney because, you know, what we're seeing, and you've heard me on this show many times talk about streaming in terms of, like, not the end of the world.
Right.
Right, and I still stand by that. But if there is a big problem with streaming, what it does is it cuts the legs out. And what I mean by legs, that's an expression when a movie holds for a long time. So, for example, we played Tom and Jerry for like 16 weeks. That movie had legs, right? And it's a combination of it's got to be a good movie, it's got to click with an audience, and you know, so on and so forth. But what we saw this weekend, which NATO is calling attention to and, you know, really pressing Disney on the day and date release model for Black Widow, is that the Black Widow's second week dropped, like, I don't have the number in front of me, but historic proportions.
Yeah, something like 60-some percent. It was huge.
Yeah. Yeah, which is inconsistent with the feedback. Like, in other words, nobody is walking around saying this was the best Marvel movie, but pretty much everyone I talked to was like, they enjoyed the movie. This was fun. This was a good movie. They would recommend it to their friends.
Right. Right.
So for it to drop 60-some percent in the second week is a real bummer for those of us who make a living off movies. But what we're all attributing it to is the fact that you're taking a segment of moviegoers out of the population. And that segment is the people who went and saw it in the theater and then wanted to see it again and decided to just get six or seven friends together and watch it at home, or decided to just log on and watch the pirated version online.
Yeah. Last week we were discussing, we didn't know what it meant when you purchased the movie. And I thought $30 for 24 hours or something, kind of like Amazon does.
Right.
Turns out it's $30, and then you have access to it until it becomes free on Disney Plus.
Oh.
And so that's $30 for however long that takes.
Yeah.
So
that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it's unlimited. I mean, if you're going to watch it over and over and over again, it's not a bad deal.
Yeah, so I got to know a lot of our customers because there's one guy, Nate, you know, and he would always come to the first Transformers, and then I would see him two or three times in that opening week.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be coming back looking for Easter eggs and, you know, watching it and dissecting it and processing it. Like, so you have a certain segment of big fans who want to, you know, pore over every detail, and you're losing all those fans now because they can, you know, do it at home. So I'm a big fan of, I preach about, you know, the experience and what we're offering is the experience and blah, blah, blah. And I stand by that. But the problem is when the content is so readily available, it screws the second, third, or fourth screenings. So anyway, it's just an interesting note that NATO is really going at it with Disney.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think NATO doesn't really have any weight.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah. And I don't think they would, because Black Widow, it almost made the same amount from home video as it did in the theaters. So. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a tough break for us. That was not a positive – that was not what we wanted to see in our recovery.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, keeping on kind of talking Disney here, WandaVision's director, Matt Shakman? Anyway, he's going to direct the next Star Trek movie. So, first off, all this time we've been like, Tarantino's doing a Star Trek movie. Is there a Star Trek movie? What's going on here? Blah, 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 blah. Well, now they've decided the director is Matt Shakman, who did WandaVision, who just won a ton of Emmys. I don't know if you saw that. Or yep. Emmy nominations. I don't know if they had yep. awards yet. But he just, you know, he's got a lot of credits to him now from that. Now, here's the part that gets me a little sketchy with this. Because the movie, the script itself, is by Lindsay Beer, whose upcoming credits include Pet Sematary prequel, which I don't care about, and the Kingkiller Chronicles adaptation, which I think is a horrible story.
Hmm.
And the other writer is Geneva Robertson, who wrote Captain Marvel and Tomb Raider, both movies that are on the okay spectrum for me. Like, they're not great, they're not bad. Tomb Raider's a little less than Captain Marvel, but neither of them are, like, amazing. Like, Captain Marvel gets a pass because it's part of Marvel and it kind of, like, it flows, it's good. Tomb Raider, do you remember Tomb Raider?
No. Exactly. Captain Marvel gets a pass because it's Brie Larson.
Something like that.
Period.
And so I'm a little worried about the script.
Yeah.
To be
David,
honest.
As my friend David Moulton would like to say,
yeah.
Don't worry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really? Has yeah. he said that?
Frequently.
Wow. That's...
Yeah.
What a guy.
Yeah.
So here's some news that had me screaming at the phone. Screaming. I reached out to my local theater owner, Penn Ketchup, and I said, what the hell, dude? Why?
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 Who gives you the rights?
Why?
Why? So Dune is getting fan screenings. Not of the movie, just of the new trailer in IMAXs. But only select IMAXs. And somehow not the coolest IMAX in town. Our IMAX. The Penn Cinema IMAXs.
Right.
Which is crazy. First off, right?
Yes.
So, and this is the, you got to get tickets for this thing, right? And I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy.
You got to get tickets to see the trailer.
Right. And I'm like, it's not like it's playing before a movie. It's its own thing. Like, there's going to be right. like stuff about the music, behind the scenes, and then it's all going to culminate with the new trailer.
Awesome.
In IMAX. Super right. cool, right? I got to like head right. up to New York if I want to see this stuff.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But here's the catch. The movies are the theaters are literally overbooking booking it. You want a ticket? No problem. Here's a ticket. You want a ticket? No problem. Here's a ticket for you too. Oh, the theater sits 200. We gave out 500 tickets. First come, first serve. Whatever.
Tough.
Yeah. So what do you think about that? In this post-pandemic world where people are still kind of a little iffy about being in large groups, these guys are just like shove them in like sardines.
I don't have a problem with shoving them in like sardines. I really don't, because you know, if you got your vaccine, then you're good,
right?
And if you didn't get your vaccine, then tough shit on you.
Yeah.
But my problem is, this is just so ridiculous. Like, it's just so stupid. Like, why? It's so typical of the big studios. Like, they just, it's the oldest trick in the book, like trying to make it seem like it's hot shit, like it's something that matters, trying to make it seem like, you know, I guess I would feel differently about it if they would have broadened the footprint. You know, so if they would have allowed us to do it in Lititz, you know, I could have managed it. I also don't understand why, if you're doing it at 7 p.m., you can't have a second one at 8 p.m. and a third one at 9 p.m.
Right.
You know, right. I just don't get it. But whatever. Like, all right. I mean, here's the thing. I will give Warner Brothers credit. Like, they're doing something. You know, like, they're giving it a go to get – like, we're talking about Dune right now. Yeah. Only because of this dumb idea.
Well, apparently, this is what I looked into it further, because you know me and Dune, I got to get down to the brass tacks here.
Word.
It's not a Warner Brothers outing. It's they hired a media company called Gabonzo or Gabozo or something to handle this event, and it's their decision to handle it this way.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that okay, but it is a Warner Brothers event because they hired somebody to represent them. So somebody at that company had a meeting with Warner Brothers and was like, here's our idea. We're going to create demand by overselling tickets, and we're going to release photos online of people waiting in line to get into the theater. And the guy at Warner Brothers or the woman at Warner Brothers was like, okay, that's a great idea. Go for it.
Go for it. Go for the cult. Maybe we'll release this on HBO Max in seconds.
Maybe that's how they got the job. Maybe that was part of their pitch.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
You know, there's a guy who I love to hate, and I'm like hot again, cold again, on again, off again. And you know who I'm talking about?
Who is it? Me?
Never, never. Do you remember in the old days, one of our earliest regular contributors writing into the show is Pirate Dave?
Oh, Pirate Dave, my man.
Yeah, you remember Pirate Dave.
Yeah.
And Pirate Dave hasn't written in forever. But one of the things that he's very, very passionate about is Clerks and Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah. And remember, he went to that like Q&A screening thing and like wrote us all about it and told us how cool it was. And I think I remember at the time – you know how I love to admit when I'm wrong. I think I remember at the time that I may or may not have poo-pooed Kevin Smith.
Ooh. Ooh.
I mean, it happens, right? So I definitely feel like sometimes Kevin Smith can be a little too pleased with himself. And I don't change my mind on that. Like, I stand by that opinion. But when I saw this headline that I'm about to share with you, I felt like two things. First of all, so here's the headline. Clerks 3 is set to begin filming next month. And I have to be honest with you. Have you ever struggled with – have you ever done a coin toss when you're struggling with your decision-making process?
Yeah, sure.
Like, so you're debating like, you know, I want to go to Canada or Mexico, and you're poring over and agonizing it and you can't decide. And then your friend tells you, flip a coin. And then while the coin's in the air –
you remember which one has extradition laws.
Right.
And then you choose. Yeah.
Choose the other one.
Yeah.
Right. But that's kind of how I feel. Like I guess my true feeling about Kevin Smith is that is revealed when I read the headline and was like, oh boy, that's gonna be fun. You know what I mean? Like I kinda wanna hate him, but I think Clerks 3 is gonna be pretty great. I can't wait to hear it. So or see it. But the press release and the quotes that are in the press release is absolutely epic, and I cannot do it justice. So if you'll bear with me, I'm going to read. Can I read the press release to you?
Sure.
It's so good. All right.
There's a saying. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just bearing with you. Is that not what you wanted?
Wait, you can't just give me the roar. You got to give me the bear claws. See, it's so much better, right? I was going to get away from the camera. So much better. And then you got like riding, Little Red Riding Hood. Oh!
Oh God, we're so dumb.
You know what else reminds me of is the line from the Muppet movie when Kermit and Fozzie the Bear are driving down the road, and Fozzie's driving, and Kermit is looking at the map and like giving him directions, and there's a split up in the road, and Kermit says, bear right. No, he goes, bear left. And Fozzie goes, right, frog. All right.
Okay.
We're fooling around. Remember, Dad's listening.
Oh, goodness. Got to be serious.
Jesus, Lord.
Pop-Up Peter does not like the fooling around. All business.
If there's anybody in the world, it's all business.
It's Papa Peter.
It's my dad. If there is anybody in the world that takes everything seriously. Oh my God, that's so funny. All right. This is some great quotes. It includes an expression from the Tao, which is spelled T-A-O, but I believe it's pronounced Tao. I always pronounce it Tao. And I think his summary of the storytelling of the plot is really cool. So anyway, here it goes. There's a saying from the Tao that goes something like, quote, to be great is to go on. To go on is to go far. To go far is to return. I love that. I love that quote. Okay. And then the press release continues. Thanks to Lionsgate, we get to return to where it all started with almost the whole cast that started it all. And for the first time, since the first time we ever made a movie in 1993, we're shooting the entire flick on location in New Jersey as an ode to both the enduring allure of cinema and the resourcefulness and lunacy of its storytellers. Years ago, Dante and Randall made me a filmmaker. So now it's time I return the favor. Inspired by Smith's real-life heart attack, Clerks 3 will find Randall having suffered a massive heart attack and enlisting fellow clerks Dante, Elias, Jay, and Silent Bob in order to make a movie immortalizing his life at the convenience store that started it all. I think that is so cool how he was like, Dante and Randall made me a filmmaker, and now he's going to make them film. I don't know. I just think the circular return of it all is genius. I think it's really strong premise, and I trust Kevin Smith with this. I think this is going to be good. I'm just saying.
On a scale of 1 to 10,
yeah,
how likely do you think it is that I've seen this movie, Clerks?
Zero.
I've never seen Clerks.
Oh my God! All right.
I've seen clips. Like okay. The Empire clip and the...
Right. So one of the great things about my life is that I'm surrounded by teenagers constantly every single day, right?
Don't maybe say that in public. It sounds funny.
So I was working at Penn Cinema years ago, like early on when we first opened, and these kids were quoting this movie that I'd never heard of called Clerks. And they were like, oh my God, start with Clerks 2. So... And then one of the kids came in and brought me a DVD, and I watched Clerks 2, and I laughed out loud the entire way through.
Without seeing one.
Without seeing, and then I went back and watched Clerks 1, but Clerks 2 is every bit as, like, I think it's even better.
Whoa.
But if you're listening to this show, and you're like some kind of movie snob, and you've never seen Clerks 1 or 2, do yourself a favor and go watch them.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you going to watch it, David? You're not going to watch it.
I'm going to forget. I'm going to forget that we talked about watching it until one day I'm like, oh, Clerks, maybe I should watch this someday. We have to do a retrospective. When there's no movies out, we'll do a retrospective.
Okay. Yeah. Solid. Next All pandemic.
Right. Yeah, next pandemic. All right. So Zach Stentz, who co-wrote the first Thor, also known as Thor, the first Thor, he also wrote the X-Men First Class. He's been tapped by Radar Pictures and iWorld Production to pen an Age of Legend movie, the first three planned movies based on the 14 book series The Wheel of Time. I don't know much about The Wheel of Time, but I know people love it. I know you're laughing hysterically at Thor, the first Thor.
The Wheel of Time is like a Kevin Smith thing. Like, that's his Wheel of Time. Like, he's going back to where it all began. He was at it long enough that brought him back to the beginning. I'm laughing because I think we had so much fun replacing all the F's with thus. And then, I don't know if you caught, but I tried to replace all the thus with F's, and it made me giggle. It made me giggle.
Four.
No, this is how you say it. Instead of saying the first Thor, you say for thirst four.
For thirst four.
See it, David.
For thirst four. Wow. What a world we live in.
As well as Fox's semi-franchise reboot, X-Men First Thirst Class.
Thirst Class.
Has been tapped by Radar Pictures and iWatt Productions to pen Age of Legends, the thirst of free planned movies. The thirst of free planned movies based on the 14th book series for Wheel of Time.
So I have some actual more information on this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Age of Legends.
Was there something you wanted to say?
They're making three movies. They're prequels to they're like the very beginning of the Wheel of Time, but there's also an Amazon series about the Wheel of Time. And if they're connected, we're not sure yet. But these three movies are theatrical release.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
I don't understand. What are we saying? The guy, Zach Stentz,
right.
And then we talked about what he wrote. This guy, Zach Stentz, is writing a movie called Age of Legend.
He's writing the first three movies. Age of Legend is the first of three movies.
Right. He's writing a movie, Age of Legend.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the first of three movies, all the three of which are based on the four. So they're going to take this 14-book series, The Wheel of Time, and turn it into three different movies.
I think it's three movies, maybe the first three books that are prequels.
Gotcha.
So something like that.
Okay.
All right. So tell me about Batgirl.
So I think all our regular listeners know what a big fan I am of Batgirl and the Batgirl concept. By the way, shout out to Joan, who I nicknamed Batgirl years ago. She works in the home office ever since. She's OG, original day one. Oh. Anyway, the Batgirl movie, it's exciting, and I was really excited to read this story, so I'll read it for you, and then I'll hit you with the bummer.
Yeah.
According to the news that's leaking out of Warner Brothers and DC Films, they are moving forward with the Batgirl role and currently testing for the lead role of Barbara Gordon / Batgirl. The top three candidates currently include Isabella Merced from Sweet Girl, Leslie Grace, who we just watched in The Heights. She would be my lead vote. I think she was amazing. And Zoe Deutsch from Zombieland, Double Tap. Zoe, by the way, I just want to point out, spells her name with one O.
Oh, really?
So, who's crazy now? who's the wild man now?
Okay, alright.
Alright, so anyway, those three are all strong choices, but I was really excited about this until I was told that it looks like Batgirl might be a HBO Max release. To which I reply, lame.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't want to end on a down note, so let's bring things up a little bit with this.
Hit me.
All right. Caroline and Paranorma.
Bum, Paranorman.
They're returning to movie theaters this fall. Caroline.
So good.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Caroline creeps back into theaters on August 24th, while Paranorman is slated for November 16th. These are along with Fathom Events, which is cool to see that they're coming back with stuff. It's to celebrate the company that made them's anniversary, this big stop motion stuff.
We've talked, I forget the occasion, but we have spoken highly of Fathom over the years on this podcast, and they continue to be quietly one of the most reliable, drama-free, supportive studios that we deal with. I mean, I continue to be impressed and tip my hat to Fathom Events. They're just easy to work with, they're straightforward, they have great content. Kudos to Fathom, and I look forward to seeing Caroline and Paranorman. That sounds like fun.
So, funny story about Sweet Caroline, the song.
Since you were singing. Bum, bum. Right.
I filmed a little television show called Young Lancaster many years ago.
Yeah.
And during filming, we filmed in one of the few sky rises here in town. And we were filming in an apartment, which was near Central Market, where when that's going on, it attracts people. Well, for some reason, this day attracted a busker with a trumpet who only played Sweet Caroline. Ba, 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 da, da, da,
I've never been so good. So good! So good! So good!
But not the rest of the song. Just that little piece, one spot. Over and over again, and we tried to pay him money to get him to be quiet. We're trying to film something. And so in the one scene, every now and then you can hear bah, 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 nah, in the background. So funny.
David, I just want to give you a kudos.
Oh, thanks.
I want to shout out to you because we should take a moment and recognize your use of the word busker.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's not an average word. That's not a nickel word. That's a grown-up word.
When you live in the mean streets of the city that I live in,
right,
you're familiar with busking.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a difference between the buskers and the beggars that come around. You know, you got to know which one's which.
Amen.
And who
Amen.
You give your money to.
That's it. All right, David, we have really great trailers this week.
Oh, my gosh.
There are seven trailers, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say that six of them are great.
Yeah, I would almost say seven.
Almost, but almost. I can't do it.
I'm gonna see which one you don't like. All right, where do you want to start? Go.
Let's start with the one that already came out.
Oh, one already came out?
Roadrunner, a film about Anthony Bourdain, was released on HBO Max last week.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, but it was a cool trailer.
It was a cool trailer.
Yeah, and I recommend it. I haven't seen the movie yet, but it looks interesting. And actually, rewatching the trailer reminded me that I want to pull it up on HBO and watch it.
I hadn't seen the trailer before. I'm not super familiar with Anthony Bourdain, is that how you say it?
Bourdain.
Yeah. But the trailer made me wanted to watch the movie. Like, I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah. And then let's start with, at the bottom there, a trailer that I thought was a little bit weak. I thought it was a little cliche. I felt like it was a mashup of a lot of other war movies that we've seen before. It's called The East. It looked fine. Like, I'm not trying to say anything bad about it, but it did nothing in terms of making me want to watch it.
Yeah. So this is a movie about post-World War II Germany trying to, quote-unquote, bring peace to an eastern area that, you know, wasn't part of the war or something. Right. I don't know. It looked interesting to me. This is the one that I was like, it's almost
right,
almost there.
Well, what I will say is it looked well made.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Like, whoever made it, like, they did it right. It was a very well made movie, it looks like, from the trailer. The trailer was solid, but it just didn't do anything to make me want to see it. Moving up, and then we can spread our wings and talk a little bit more, but let's bang out The Colony.
Okay, Saban Films.
This is the one that I thought was like the weak link.
Oh, really? See, I thought, now this one didn't seem like it was too new, but I was interested in what's going on. I thought visually looked good enough to make up for the story plot downplays about, I guess they left Earth and tried to colonize other places and found out that nothing could reproduce off of Earth. So they come back and find that there's still like some survivors here.
Right.
That are kind of like, I don't know, rebel ruffians type thing.
Ruffians.
And, yeah. And so it's kind of like what's better for the colony and what's better for humanity type of thing. Ruffians.
You got to watch those ruffians, man. They're as bad as the buskers.
They are. Left, yeah. Right, and center, you know?
All right, so the remaining 1, 2, 3, 4 trailers, they're all right. Well, let's keep going. Let's keep in my – tell me if I'm wrong, but I think of the remaining four, the weakest one was I'm Fine, Thanks for Asking. But I say that, like, gently, because these are four good trailers. Like, these are – I thought these were – this movie, it's called I'm Fine, parentheses, Thanks for Asking – reminded me of, like, if you ever saw Will Smith in The Pursuit of Happiness.
Right, yeah.
When The Pursuit of Happiness came out, I did not watch that in the theaters. I could not – it was too emotional. It was too scary for me because I was so sensitive about the little boy and just – it was too heavy. It came out around Christmas time. I didn't want to deal with, like, heavy – they always release, like, heavy dramas around Christmas time.
Yeah.
So this movie, I'm Fine, is a very similar storyline except it's a mom and her daughter instead of a father and a son. It looks – beautiful. It looks heartbreaking. Like, I bet you this is a good movie.
Yeah, it does. Parts of the trailer, I was a little like, this is a little weak, but overall, looks really good, really heartbreaking. The premise is they're homeless and they live in a tent, and she's trying to scrounge up enough money to get an apartment, but the whole time she tells her daughter that they're just camping.
Right.
And she's trying to find a place to live before her daughter figures out they're homeless.
Oh, so sad, but yeah. looks like a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
It's the acting looks amazing, although there's nobody in it that I recognized.
Same. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah.
So what do you have next here?
Okay, I'm working my way up. I think the number three trailer this week is from Twist, is called Twist. And it's from a studio that I'd never heard of called Sky Cinema. This movie looked amazing until you realized how much it looks like a Guy Ritchie movie, and it's not a Guy Ritchie movie.
Yeah, it's a very English film. Okay, here's the thing. It's called Twist. Did you pick up that it's Oliver Twist?
Yes.
The same story?
Yes.
See, I know he calls himself Oliver Twist, but I didn't realize it was a remake of Oliver Twist until I read.
So does that take it away? Like, Frodo, what do you think? Does that add credibility to it because it's cool? Or does that take away? Like, because I hated Leonardo DiCaprio in Romeo and Juliet.
I loved him in Romeo and Juliet.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It was a modern take. I thought it was really cool.
Are you teasing me?
Nah, dog.
Okay.
It was all about that version. I mean, looking back, it's really cringy, but...
Yeah, right. But, okay, maybe that says... I'm not saying nothing, but I'm just saying maybe you were still young enough when that came out.
No, that's exactly it. Like, I was at the right age that he seemed cool, she was pretty.
Yeah.
At the time, I thought Romeo and Juliet was so romantic. I read it, like, a bunch of times.
Right.
But, you know...
You are the ultimate romantic.
That's what I keep telling women. But right. They don't seem to hear me.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. This might surprise you, but I am the ultimate romantic.
Consider yourself
seduced.
So the movie is called Twist. I thought it was super cool looking. And to be honest with you, once I realized it was loosely based on Oliver Twist, I thought two things. First of all, I thought, oh, super cool. And then second of all, I thought, oh, shit, I wish I remembered more about Oliver Twist when I read it in the eighth grade.
I had the same thing, but I was like, this looks, I mean, cinematically, it looks awesome. Like the way the camera's moving around. Then I thought, oh, this is really cool. I wish I knew more about Oliver Twist. And then it dawned on me, I'm glad I don't, because it's not going to ruin it.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Anyway. I'm curious to see what I'm going to... I haven't done it yet, but I want to see what Sky Cinema is, if that's a new studio that's coming around or if it's just a tiny studio we never heard of, or what's the deal?
Been around, just usually their name's like fourth or fifth on a,
okay,
on a list. All right, so next one we have is?
Well, I think saving the best for last, the next one is Naked Singularity.
Ooh, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Naked Singularity, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it stars our boy Yeager from Star Wars, right?
John Boyega, yeah.
What was his character's name? I want to say Poe, but he wasn't Poe. He was Finn. The other guy. Finn. So this comes out on August 6th, which is pretty soon. It causes me a little concern that I never heard of this movie.
It has like a four-day release window.
Yeah, it has a short release window. But even still, I always get anxious when I see a good big A-lister like John Boyega in a good big movie that I'm excited about seeing, and then it comes out like in a couple weeks. Like, how come nobody's reaching out to Penn Cinema about booking this? So I'm going to follow up on that. Naked Singularity essentially is it seemed like a really original plot. It's like this defense lawyer who gets mixed up with this girl, and the two of them get mixed up with a drug cartel, and there's free money, and it just looks like a wild ride. I'm all in. I can't wait to see this movie.
I thought this movie looked it has a lot of big names in it too. Like one of the Skarsgårds and some other guy. I recognized the name of. I didn't know who the girl was, but this looks good. Like I'm totally in. Yeah.
All right, David, you take the honors and walk us through the trailer of the week.
Oh, trailer of the week. This one completely surprised me because when this came out last week, like right after we stopped recording, I was like, whatever, I'll catch it when I catch it.
Right.
And then I was like, I even hit play and I was like, I could probably work on the notes while this is playing. But then I gave it my full attention and I am glad.
Right. You did not give it your full attention. It reached through the screen and grabbed you by the lapels and shook you until you were paying attention.
Yeah, because it's called Turning Red and it's Disney Pixar's new movie. And I think what caught me right away is the girl's struggling with her math and someone's trying to pass her a note and she picks it up and it says your mom's outside and she looks out and her mom's like watching her in school through from behind a tree and it just causes this big scene and she gets embarrassed and then she hulks out she turns into a giant red panda when she can't calm down and it's both adorable and crazy and the music was great and it's like growing up you know has never been so difficult or big or monstrous, right. I think is the word that they
use. Is a beast. Growing up is a beast.
This, of all these trailers, This is the one that when I was done watching all the trailers, I was like, I kind of want to watch that one again.
Yeah. This is just only the second Pixar film to be directed by a woman, and the first Pixar film to be directed by a woman of color.
Wow.
This movie is released in March of 22, and just to like put a fine point on your premise, the storyline as it officially is reported, a 13-year-old girl turns into a giant red panda whenever she gets too excited.
And it's perfect. It's not just angry; it's excited.
Because it's everything about it. Like she calms herself down. And then she's so excited that she calms herself down, she poofs out again.
She turns back into the panda, yeah. Yeah. I think this looks great. I cannot wait to see this one. Yeah.
I did not see any of the... I did not see it coming. Like the trailer like was so gripping. I'm watching it. I'm absolutely like you. Like sometimes we watch trailers and we're doing other stuff while we're watching it. But the scene where the mom is outside the window and the kid's like dying of embarrassment, and I didn't know where it was going to go. And when she like bursted into this big pink cloud and became the giant red panda, I did not see it. It was amazing. It's so well done. Yeah. It's so good.
All right. You ready to talk about this week's movie?
Whew. I think what we're going to have to do in order to handle this appropriately is to have a two-part. Like, this is episode 130. I think we're going to have episode 130, part one, and 130 and a half.
130. Okay, is that what we're doing? Right. Should we do an outro here? And come back right. For part two?
Right. And I'm 10 Ketchum. What's up? So here we are back for episode 130.5. This movie that we're reviewing today is called Space Jam 2, what, The Final Frontier or something?
A New Legacy.
A New Legacy. How fun would it be? podcast@penncinema.com, because we don't have much to say about this movie. So help us out with this. Space Jam 2, and then give us the subtitle, but steal the subtitle from another movie.
Yes.
Like I did. Space Jam 2, The Final Frontier. Now, you do better than that. Give me something better than that. Space Jam 2, blankety blank blank.
Yeah.
podcast@penncinema.com.
And I had a listener tell me they knew exactly what you were going to say about this movie. Exactly what you were going to say about this movie.
Can I guess?
So I want you to, I want to hear what your real is, and let's see if it matches up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm like, it's like tainted because my real answer is also what I think they would have predicted. Which is, are you ready?
Yeah.
This movie's not intended for us. For the audience that it was intended for, it was a great hit, and it was a lot of fun, and people loved it, and it's a terrible movie, but everybody who watched it liked it. The people who were supposed to like it liked it.
Chris saw production goes, you know what Penn's going to say. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's going to be like, oh, yeah, it was pretty good. You know, the kids liked it, so it was a good movie. I don't have anything bad to say because, you know, it's a good movie. Kids liked it. And meanwhile, this is after me raging on him about how much I hate this movie for like a good 5 minutes. This movie is hot trash. This movie, it visually gave me a headache. It's like, it is, and none of it makes sense, and it's so horrible. I'm not saying the first Space Jam is great, right? But at least it had a better premise. And just so much of it is bad. Why didn't they just have his kids act as the kids? Because the other actors aren't good anyway, except for Sonequa Green, Martin Green, or whatever her last name is from Star Trek. She was great. And I tell you, Don Cheadle is acting his butt off in this movie. Like, he gave it 1,000,000,000%, right? And he did not need to give it any more than, like, 7% in order to make this happen. This movie is so bad. It's 2 hours, Penn. It's 2 hours of my time. 2 hours. They spend 1 hour before they get to the basketball game, right? And you're probably thinking, oh, they get to the basketball game. then stuff happens. No, then it's just an hour of them playing basketball. It is almost a bad basketball game in real time, and it's more boring than real basketball. It is so bad. Oh. And the audience is all like, it's like they went out to the Hollywood Boulevard and they were like, oh, you're dressed up as the Mask? Oh, you're dressed up as Dr. Freeze? Mr. Freeze? Like, you're dressed up as like Penguin? Oh, Jack Nicholson? Like, let's bring them all in and just stand on the sidelines and go, whoa! And, ah, and look really bad and it'll be great. You'll be in the movie. It's and the Looney, like, okay, they made a big deal about how this one is in the Serververse and they're going to go from one Marvel or Warner Brothers property to the next, to the next, to the next, and they're going to go through all these movies. You think that'd be a major part of this thing, right? No, that is like a good 3 minutes of this movie max, and they don't even spend it. They just like show up at the Matrix, right? And they're like, hey, we're in the Matrix, and then they show Granny kicking and spinning and stuff, and then they're like, okay, let's go out. What's the next movie? Oh, here's Harry Potter World. Oh, let's just mention Harry Potter, and then move on. We'll just pick up. The whole time, he's like, I want Superman. I want King Kong, the Iron Giant. I want them all on my team. And Bugs Bunny's just like, yeah, cool. But except instead, we're just going to put all the Looney Tunes on the team. And at no point is LeBron arguing. He's just like, well, I guess this is my team now. You picked it out, Buzz. Or Bugs Bunny, like, whatever. And then his son is like, plays basketball against his son for the fate of like the world, and at no point is he like, hey son, this isn't just about me accepting you as your dad, this is about like all these people that are gonna be trapped here forever, like wake up. Instead he's just like, nope, gotta beat my son. Because the moral of this movie, Penn, it was in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah,
video games make you bad at sports and life, but sports makes you successful.
Oh, wow.
That's the beginning of the movie. It's like, that's exactly what LeBron James, he's a little kid. Someone gives him a Game Boy because he's poor. They hand me down his Game Boy. He's like, wow, a Looney Tunes video game. And then the coach is like, what is this? It's holding you back from the game. And if you really want to succeed in life, you have to get rid of this video game. So he throws it in the trash and then cue a montage of him being the best ever. And if I could go the rest of my life without hearing LeBron James' name ever said, it would be too many times that I heard his name. Because because all they do is talk about how LeBron James is the best at ever, and how if you're not breathing his leftover air, then you're really not living as a human being. So anyway.
I'm sorry, David. Were you saying something?
No. So it turns out I watched Space Jam 2, A New Legacy.
And, I have nothing to add. Your Honor, I rest our case.
I'm fired up. And then after I went through all that, he's like, Penn's going to be like, oh, it was pretty good. The kids liked it.
Oh, my God. God bless you, David. God bless you. You're a good man. You're a good man. I don't care what the papers say.
All right. What are we watching next week, Penn?
Woo!
Please not Space Jam again.
For those of you who are not watching this podcast, today's film review was brought to you by David Moulton, and I left the podcast and went out and visited with my family and had dinner.
He literally got up and walked away.
took a walk around the block, played with my dog, read a couple chapters of Dune, came back, and he was still ranting.
That's how we know it's a lie, because you read some of Dune.
We know it's a lie because his lips are moving.
Yeah.
All right. So next week, I think we go to the opposite end of extreme, because I'm really excited for M. Night Shyamalan's Old.
Oh.
Now, aren't we watching that, or are you two chicken? You're going to watch Snake Eyes.
Well, let me ask you, does Green Knight come out next week?
No, that's July 30th.
Okay.
And but we also, if you want to watch, if you don't want to watch Old, I can talk to you about watching Joe Bell. Do you remember?
Joe Bell?
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
I don't remember watching the trailer either, but it's booked and we open it on Friday. It's like an artsy movie.
I think it should probably be Old or Snake Eyes.
Yeah, I would rather watch Old.
Yeah, all right, so let's plan on Old then.
Okay.
I'm going to regret it, maybe. I don't know, maybe not. We'll see.
Wait, why are you going to regret it?
No, I don't know. Sometimes I get upset by his movies.
Why?
Because I'm like...
Why? Why?
They went ahead and they tried to pull that off on me. I saw that coming.
All right, David. Honor system. On the honor system.
Okay.
We need to be honest when we come back next week and talk about whether or not, whatever it is, whether or not we saw it coming.
Okay. All right. Deal. Deal.
Okay. We got some really good notes this week. The best, of course, was Pop-Up Peter confirming his listening.
Yeah, of course.
That was pretty great. Big Brother Breck, still no word from him. You know, we still have not gotten a podcast report from Bellingham, Washington.
Right. So, I'm not saying he's dead to us, but I surely don't know if he's alive.
No. Somebody check his pulse.
Right. All right. We had a first-time write-in this time, and I'm going to say that because he didn't actually write into the show. He just texted me, and I was like, this is going on the show. Chris Ballantyne, our number one fan, wrote in this week and said... Number three fan, sorry.
Yeah.
He said, Pig... is a really good movie, and it's totally worth checking out. And he said, I should drive the next time to go see it. It's that good. This is the Nicolas Cage movie about truffles.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
interesting.
I was really surprised by that. So I said, is it, are you just fooling with me or is this the real deal? And he said, believe me, son, it's the real deal.
So David, can I just ask you a personal question here for a moment? Just between us.
I actually do have pants on.
Yeah. Okay. Do you ever, like when you're out with regular people, resist the urge to like talk podcast? Like people are trying to have like a normal conversation and you want to like interject?
Either about stuff that we talked about?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So it was my mom's birthday, and she was in town, and we took her out to her favorite restaurant, which is the Log Cabin. Super beautiful, terrific place up here in Leola. And there was talk of getting truffle fries.
Oh.
And I was like thinking to myself, I know about a truffle hunter who lives alone in the Oregonian wilderness.
Nicolas Cage.
Right. And I wanted to tell the whole table all about it. And then tell them how much fun we had talking about this trailer, but I resisted because I felt like grown-ups were talking and I would just try to be good.
I have that problem, but I also have more of the problem of people being like, hey, do you know about this thing, this news thing? And then they proceed to tell me about it for like 2 minutes, and I'm like, yeah, we talked about it on the show. And then, like, I don't mean to be rude. I just mean to be like, I heard about it, but the look on their face is like,
so sad. Yeah. I had a lady write in just 2 days ago asking me if we were going to get Summer of Soul. And I was like, yeah, we're going to get it 2 weeks ago when it got released.
All right. So tell me about Frodo wrote in and I want to hear what she had to say.
All right. Well, our buddy Frodo wrote in and she's just the best because she sends these incredibly long emails. And right before the very long email, she says, all right, I want to just, like, this is the short version of what I want to say. She's like, I'm going to keep it brief this week. And then it's like, you know, 6 pages long. But every word of it is genius.
Yeah.
So first of all, just on a side note, so for those of you who might not know, Frodo is our in-house animation expert.
Yeah.
So we're really always interested in her opinions on Pixar and stuff like that. And she... what's the movie? It's not Cantano. What's the movie we talked about? It's the new, like, semi-Mexican one.
Encanto.
That's what it is. Yeah, so she felt the same way I did about Encanto or whatever, in terms of, like, and she was kind enough to send a GIF with a picture of somebody shrugging. But last week, we really struggled to put my finger on what my problem with Lin-Manuel Miranda is, because I'm a huge fan.
Right.
And I think I peddled this idea of like remember I said like I was sick of him, and then I contradicted myself because I was like, he did so good at Hamilton, it'd be easy to just disappear, but good for him for like at least working. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and what I couldn't quite articulate, which I'm about to share with you because Frodo, I think, hit the nail on the head. What I couldn't quite articulate is it didn't make me like him any less. I just had this uneasy feeling about it. So here's what she says. She says they're selling the name Lin-Manuel Miranda. And that hits the nail on the head. That's exactly right. Like it's almost like they're commodifying his name into, you know, trying to turn a coin on it. Like that scene in Ocean's 11 where Will Smith says, my dad doesn't want me trading on his name. And Brad Pitt says, if you pull this off, he'll be trading on yours. But so they're trading on his name. And Frodo went on to say, people have gotten sort of overzealous. They put him on kind of a too high pedestal, if that makes sense. Like, even if you love his music, there's some kind of social getting carried away with the idea of Lin-Manuel because of that initial enormous flash of notoriety that Hamilton underwent. So things sort of got swept away and exaggerated, leading to eventual, like Penn said, oversaturation. So now he has gotten too big for his britches, sorta. That's my interpretation of it. But I think that's the end of her quote. I think that's a really good way to summarize it, is that first of all, they're really just trading on his name, and we put him on a pedestal, but maybe it was a little bit too high of a pedestal. I just thought that was an interesting point she made.
Yeah. And I don't want you to think it's all about you, Penn, because she also said that she agrees with me that is, other than a few songs from Moana, which we didn't mention, that his music is largely forgettable.
No, I don't remember reading that.
You know, it was in there.
I read the part about Penn was right, and then I skimmed over. I skimmed over a couple sentences, and then got back to. What I should have done is just said Frodo wrote in and said Penn was right, and then moved on to the next topic.
It was a short one.
Right. And then David, can you walk us through her reference to all? So then it was really funny because she sent this long, very brief email. And then she sent a follow-up email because she said, I don't want to be Debbie Downer.
Yeah. But man, Frodo, you're the best. Always write us, please. And she said, Loki was amazing. She psyched for the MCU crossover between Deadpool and Korg.
Korg.
Yeah, which was a thing that happened. I almost put it on our thing to watch, but they did a thing where Deadpool and Korg watched the newest Free Guy trailer and reviewed it in real time.
Yes,
and it was
kind of
like saying that you know, he's part of the Marvel family now, and you know, because they are making a movie in the Marvel family with him.
Yeah.
So it was really well done. It must have cost a fortune to make.
Right.
But it was funny. I thought it was funny.
I did too. I didn't pick up on that. I misread the email. I thought.
Well, we saw you, so Penn is right. And you just.
Yeah. But then I misread, right? And so because of that, I misread the second email and I read it as Deadpool and Kong.
Kong.
And I was like, I didn't see anything about Kong.
The Deadpool and King Kong movie we've always wanted.
Right. Coming.
We may never
March,
get.
Yeah. In March of 22, only on HBO Max.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, look, if you want to write in the show,
exhausting.
Yeah, please write in podcast@pensima.com. Let's get to our last segment here, and that's what are you watching, what are you reading, what are you doing outside of the movies this week, Ben?
Well, Ted Lasso Season 2 comes out on Friday, so we have returned to Ted Lasso Season 1, and there is a scene in a little bit towards the end of Episode 1. So first of all, if you're not hip to Ted Lasso, me and the two other people that have Apple TV recommend it strongly. There's a scene where Jason Sudeikis squeezes into one of those little tiny cars that they have in London, and it's just gold. Marley and I were watching, and I was just – I had to jump over the couch. I was screaming so loud. It was great. So Ted Lasso, we're still watching. We're still working our way through Manifest. The acting still is awful, but it's fun to guess. I feel like we watch Manifest the way old ladies used to watch daytime soaps.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Don't interrupt my stories. And I also stumbled upon and watched. I just turned it on and then ended up watching the whole thing, the original Point Break with Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze. This movie is so good. Have you ever seen Point Break?
Oh, yeah. That's why Fast and Furious is Point Break. They've made Point Break 2. They've made, like, or you, even if you look at, isn't even the one where they send people undercover in a Jump Street, isn't that kind of like a Point Break story?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I gotcha. All right.
Yeah.
What are you up to?
Okay, so, of course, I finished Loki this week, which was absolutely phenomenal. Changed the Marvelverse forever. You watched, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Amazing. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's going to be the first one to have a season two. Plus, the characters are supposed to show up in several other things, which is super cool. I also started reading the graphic novel version of Dune: House Atreides, Volume 1, which is kind of interesting because this is the first graphic novel of Dune that I've read. There's another one out for the actual book Dune. But to see these characters drawn out is kind of a little mind-bending to kind of see how these things fit from what I imagined in my mind. So it's kind of fun. That's what I've been up to.
Okay.
And I watched Space Jam and got really angry. So
let's not go down that road again. Let's not wander down that road again.
Right. So okay. So next week we're going to watch Old. And as some of my friends said as we walked by, hey, it's a movie about you. I was like, gosh, come on. Seriously. So we're going to watch Old. Look, if you want to write in and tell us about anything you want, what movies you've been watching, what movies you want to see, what's been going on in your world, or if you think that Chris Hall Productions nailed his Penn impersonation, go ahead and do that to podcast@penncinema.com. You can also find us over on Facebook. There's always a conversation going on over there, too. But, of course, if you want to support the show, Penn, what is the number one way people can do that?
Well, the number one way is to tell a friend.
Oh.
But I'm here today to plead with you for a movement. I think we should have a movement. And the way that we're going to do this is everybody is going to write a letter to Kevin Smith and with a great story idea for Clerks 4.
Yeah.
And the story idea is Clerks 4, the Penn Cinema podcast story.
Two guys start a podcast.
Right. So, dear Kevin Smith, listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Yeah.
Love, Scott. Actually, I didn't want to ruin the surprise, but that's what everybody's doing. They're sending letters to Kevin Smith and signing them Love, Scott. You can pour your heart out. You can write whatever you want. You can just say, "Dear Kevin Smith, I'm really excited about Clerks 3. You should listen to the Penn Cinema podcast. Love, Scott."
He's going to be like, "Man, Scott really likes Penn Cinema podcast."
Yeah.
Also, he's got a really large varying degree of handwriting.
Hey, by the way, while we were recording this show, some news broke.
Oh, no. Hit it to me before we get out.
Winston Duke has confirmed he will be back as M'Baku for the sequel of Black Panther 2.
Oh.
Yeah. He said it will be very emotional without Chadwick Boseman, but everyone is very excited to bring the world of Wakanda back to the public and back to the fans. We're going to do it in a way that would make Chad proud.
Nice.
That's exciting news, and maybe somebody should put that in a letter to Kevin Smith. Dear Kevin, did you hear about the Black Panther sequel? We're really excited for Clerks 3. Listen to the Penn Cinema podcast. Love, Scott.
Love, Scott.
Yeah.
All right. Well, once again for the Penn Cinema podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care
and party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.